Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah. Hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there,
quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
How'd it go?
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
He a man today. He a man.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we moved, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. they came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be, super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some. All right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them. And there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
Got to do in-
$5,000 per hour activity. So those of you who are interested in earning $5,000 per hour, we're going to at least attempt to put it out podcast today, 619-768-2945. Robin, if you're on, cue up Akon's 10% rule. Akon's, cue that up, and then when you got it queued up, just press one so I know it's ready. We'll be back with how to earn $5,000. If you want to earn $5,000 per hour, there are certain activities that you need to do. So we're going to talk about that and some other stuff when we come back. Thank you. All right. So today's podcast, what we want to get out there is we got it titled $5,000 per hour activities. In this age of the internet, World Wide Web, you have people that are earning what some people earn. Well, let's take the figure of, let me see, $50,000 a year, which, you know, depending on your lifestyle, that's not a bad income. Okay. And, but due to inflation, primarily inflation, I'm not even going to factor in lifestyle. Well, you know what? I do have to factor in lifestyle. Due to inflation, maybe the part of the country that you might live in or world, and particularly lifestyle, $50,000 could be plenty for some and not for others. But in my opinion, no matter how you slice your cake, $50,000 due to inflation will have less purchasing power day by day. So what I'm noticing, because I use, YouTube and other metrics within the internet as my various metrics. Now you have people, even millennials, that are earning, and pretty soon will probably be Generation Z people. And Generation Z are as young as 8 years old. Now you've got people that are earning $50,000 a month or even $50,000 per day. So what we want to talk about on here is what are some of the activities that you need to do to get that. Now, just as an intro, and I mentioned this last week and the week before, that one of the metrics that I use or that I'm using now and now I'm applying to my personal life or business life is the Chinese, what I call the Chinese menu model. And once again, if you take a look at a Chinese food menu, and not all of them are the same, but the one that I go by, okay, basically, it has over 300 different items. 300 different items that are priced from as low as 75 cents to as high as $15.95. Within that 300 items, they have a lunch menu, but that's available just Monday through Friday. And that lunch menu has 32 items. Now, think of each and every one of these items on their menu. It's a paycheck. Every time somebody orders something off of that menu, it's a payday. So the typical, and I'm going to just narrow this down from 300 to 100. Typical Chinese menu, there are over 100 paydays that are available 5 to 6, possibly 7 days out of the week for that particular family, because most Chinese restaurants, particularly the carryouts, are family-based businesses. Okay? Now, the Amish... a lot of the Amish families roll that way too. They have, many of them have family businesses. It could be woodworking, it could be, which includes includes furniture making, making sheds. It could be running a restaurant. It could be running a bakery. I mean, just with the bakery, family bakery alone, I mean, buns, different type of buns, shoe fly pies, different type of, I mean, peanut butter cheesecakes, just different items that they might make in an Amish bakery or an Amish restaurant, or there might be an Amish flea market. You know, and some of these people are clearing over $5 million a year in the Amish community. Some of these, the average Chinese carryout in the United States takes in over $100,000 per month. That's just an average. Some take in less, some take more. But that's on average, it's over $1 million a year. So I've taken some ideas from that. So, now going back to the Chinese thing, because like I said, if we just reduce their menu down to like 100 items, 100 paychecks on there, all right, let's say, once again, crispy noodles might cost 75 cents. That's the least expensive item. You know, egg rolls might cost $1.25. I'm just quoting off the menu that I go by from the place I actually order from. Then they have, fortune cookies, if you're into those. Typically, they include those, but some people might like, they might charge those if you want to buy them individually. I don't know what those are priced at. But out of the 100 items, you know, like on the menu that I have, 32 items are lunch menu, I mean, or lunch specials priced at $6.95. So they have 32 items that you can order Monday through Friday from the hours of 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 32 items, 32 paychecks, priced at $6.95. Okay, very affordable. Most of the time, I might order two or three dishes because essentially that'll last me 3 to 5 days, possibly six, you know, because I'm looking at, well, I'm not going to eat all. They give you enough just with one meal for $6.95 or whatever it is, where, you know, I'm not going to eat all of that in one day. Sometimes I might, you know, eat maybe two-thirds of it in a day, but something, typically it might take me two days to get some of that. So I typically order two, sometimes three, you know, particularly if I don't want to cook at all that week, you know, I might order on Monday, and then that'll last me the whole week, Monday through Friday, all right? Or I might order something on Friday. I might order two meals on Friday, and that, you know, that'll take me through the whole weekend, all right? But that's the way I do it, all right? So now the component parts of those 100 paydays, okay, because the regular person, you know, you might get, in this culture, you might get a paycheck every week. Most people get it every 2 weeks. Some people get paid just once a month, all right? In a lot of countries around the world, they get paid once a month. Anyway, that's why I like the Chinese food menu, because essentially, I mean, you got so many, I mean, they got so many ways that they can extract that money out of you, because it doesn't cost a whole lot. The way they price their meals. Now, the component parts of that 100-plus meals is just made up of about six component parts: chicken, beef, pork, seafood, and then when we get to seafood, we can even split that up, but I'm going to simplify just lumping in just the seafood because they got scallops, they got shrimp, that type of thing. Vegetables. Hold it, that's what? All right, beef, chicken, pork. Oh, seafood, vegetables. something on the top of my head. Oh, rice. How can I forget? Okay. So those are the six component parts that they're making over 100-plus dishes that they're essentially paychecks. If you want a soda, all right, that might be a dollar more, you know. So, but let's simplify it to 100. So now the way I'm modeling that with my business is I've got a menu of right now three. Okay. Campers, and I wasn't in the campers 2 weeks ago. All right. Matter of fact, on Mondays, we're going to go back to our mobile home Mondays because I've discovered a whole lot of distinctions within the mobile home or mobile housing, okay? And campers is one of them, okay? And so my three, I got three items on my camping menu so far. Real basic, campers, backyard rooms, and solar cabins. That's my menu so far. Now, I collected on a camper, my first camper, last week. And the reason why I like campers is I wasn't even trying to go after campers. It wasn't even on my mind. I was marketing for space in the backyard. You know, bring your own equipment or tent, or if you don't have one, I got a brand new tent. I'll sell it to you. You take it with you when you leave. Because, you know, tents, if they're made from fabric, if they get ripped, you got to repair it. Doesn't look good for the next customer. And then people got their own aromas or whatnot. That can get all in the tent. And you got to. So, you know, that's where I was at with it. But, so while I was marketing for that, I had a number of people, unexpectedly, that was hitting me up about they got a camper, and they wanted a place to park it. So, and they were making unsolicited offers, and they were making attractive unsolicited offers. So, I set an appointment with two of them. I'm building social capital with both of them, but one of them, I closed on him. So I want to break this $5,000 per hour activities into two different distinctions. Okay. Now, number one, and look, you know what? Just go with the campers right now. Let's go with the campers. All right. Now, this isn't quite $5,000 per hour, but let me give you the logistics on it and my thinking, okay? Because if I did it, if L.A. could do it, anybody can do it. The sweet spot, apparently, and I call this goes into the bottom of the pyramid, and we mentioned this book last week and the week before last by C.K. Perhollet. Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. I highly recommend that book. Go on YouTube, check out C.K. Perhollet, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, because that the base of the pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid, is not the bottom of the barrel, but the bottom of the pyramid is where there's a lot of money. Okay? The Chinese food restaurant menu, the McDonald's menu, particularly the dollar menu at McDonald's, the dollar stores, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, all of those catered to Walmart to a high degree, all of them catered to the bottom of the pyramid. There's trillions of dollars at the bottom of the pyramid. Don't get it twisted. The bottom of the pyramid is not, I repeat, is not the bottom of the barrel. So while I was advertising for a backyard, which that's part of the bottom of the pyramid, all right, a more lucrative part of the bottom of the pyramid, campers, people with campers, and these people have jobs. All the people I talked to that had camp, they have jobs, okay? They have their own transportation, and they own their own home. Campers are considered private property. It's not real estate. Their housing is in the form of a camper, and they can hitch their home, their camper, to a car, to a truck, to whatever car, and it's roadworthy. Okay, so they're part of my menu. Now, before I get to the $5,000 per hour, here is a strategy that now I'm employing. It's not $5,000 an hour, but let's follow how I'm thinking, because once again, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It takes me about 21 minutes and 7 seconds. I time myself with a stopwatch. That's what it takes me to place an ad. 21 minutes and 7 seconds. Okay. So the activity, then that's an activity for me to generate $400 a month. Give me 21 minutes and 7 seconds, and I'll place an ad, which will generate me $400 a month residual income. Now, my goal with that is, because 21 minutes and 7 seconds isn't a whole lot of time. Now, my habit, okay, because I'll be placing these probably about 5 days a week. From here on out, I'll just be repeating what I did last week. Matter of fact, I placed the ad this morning and then edited it up again about an hour ago. But my goal with that is, okay, a la Steve Harvey, 10 by 10, okay, I want to do 10 of those a month. Now, I might have to place more than 10 ads, but I'm pretty confident I can probably place one or two ads and get 10. But, I mean, 10 people that are delivered. So 10 times 400, $4,000. All right. Now, if I do that in the course of a year, I will be earning. Now, this is a very sanitized thing because, you know, life happens, people don't pay, people skip out. But this is just a very sanitized version. But I live by the 80-20 rule or the 75 rule. 75% of these people will be paying. In the course of a year, just following what I did last week, just 10 of them, okay, I'll be taking in $48,000 a month. Just helping 10 people each month. And that's why I'm so glad I got private land with acres on it. So that's essentially, that's one of my cookie cutters, which is on my menu. And that's one part of the menu. Now, I got two other items on my menu. Backyard rooms, because people There's a demand for rooms. There's a big demand for rooms. So, all right. I'm taking a chapter out of, now I've done rooms and I do rooms now, but the rooms that I do now are with, they're under a roof called a house. All right. I've done that for years, but the rooms that we'll be doing now, I'm taking a chapter out of Noah from Noah's Ark. Because Noah knew a flood was coming, but he didn't wait for the government to send him a boat to save him. All right. What he did was he built the boat. So I got a bunch of pallets, and I'll be making rooms out of those available for rent. And we're going to, once again, everything's going to be priced based on the bottom of the pyramid. The crowd that I'm catering to is the Walmart crowd, the dollar menu crowd at McDonald's, the people that shop at dollar store, dollar, that's the bottom of the pyramid. Once again, they're not the bottom of the barrel. That's the bottom of the pyramid market demographic I'm going after. Because they came after me last week. Like I said, I wasn't even thinking about them. Okay. And then the third item on the menu, because once again, with the Chinese menu method, okay, they've got over 100 items. When you call up a Chinese restaurant, all right, and you place your order, they will have that, their team, and once again, most Chinese restaurant carryouts in particular are family-based businesses that cross all generations. They're able to put your order together in a matter of minutes. And that's the same thing I want to do with my housing business, with those three items. Now, we're probably going to have to take a page out of Amazon. Because Amazon delivers things within 24 to 48 hours. Sometimes a little bit longer, but they tell you up front. They tell you up front. But most of the things that I've gotten from Amazon typically comes to me in like the next day. And I would say in almost 50% of the cases. Almost 50%. Definitely, overwhelmingly, they come within 2 days of ordering. All right. So we might have some of that, but we'll be able to tell you Amazon style, okay, this will be ready in 24 hours or probably in some cases if we're going from building something from scratch in a location, it might be about 48 hours. All right. But now with that, when we get into not the campers, but the back room, the backyard room models and the solar cabin models, where we have to employ the or apply the non-friend strategy that a lot of you are familiar with on here. And that's how we'll do it. You know, we're going to have to, because non-friend style, which is really Amish style, you know what, which is really Chinese menu style. Many hands make light work. That's how they're able to, I mean, I imagine any restaurant, but in this example, Chinese menu restaurant that have, you know what, next time that you step inside of a Chinese food carryout, all right, and you place an order for you and yours, just take a head count on how many people are in there preparing the meals. Take a head count on that. All right. Also, I mean, you got one person that's manning the phone and taking the orders. Sometimes that same person that's manning the phone and taking the orders is also taking your order when you come in. But you know what? I would say, you know, go at least twice a month. This is homework time. You're doing some reconnaissance stuff during this time. Go during the lunch rush. Go during the dinner rush. And just count how many people, and once again, these are family members for the most part. They're either family members or extended family. And count how many hands are on deck preparing those meals. Okay. And if you see any little young kids in there, you know, kids or grandkids, count them in too. They're doing something in there eventually, sweeping up or something, and they're learning the business. So by the time they're 15 to 16, that once again, the average Chinese restaurant in the United States takes in over $111,000 a month. Excuse me, you know, let's put it at $100,000 to keep it simple. That's the average one. All right, so, and they don't have an army of people in there doing this. You know, but the next time I go into one, I'm going to just take a head count. And then, now, if there's somebody that's not in the immediate family or the extended family, all right, it can be anybody. Because, you know, now they've got some drivers. And a lot of these Chinese carryouts, they were doing home delivery. They were doing the gig economy before Americans called into the gig economy, years before Americans called into the gig economy. Now it's popular. You got DoorDash, Instacart, Uber Eats, Postmates. But the Chinese restaurants were doing that years before. I got to give Tom Monahan credit with Domino's. You know, and really, Domino's pizza, I don't even like it that much. But, well, in round my neck of woods, you got Pizza Hut. My favorite pizza is Lido's, but that's another story. But, you know, Domino's, basically, you know, he put it out there. It'll be delivered within, what he said, 30 minutes or it's free. And I don't hear him with their slogan anymore, but whatever. But you got to look at these are anything that, you know, what are the activities that are needed to deliver a pizza in 30 minutes? Now, let's go now. Before I go to the $5,000 per hour, once again, for me to get the $400 a month, no big deal, because a zillion people have done that. But I'm looking at, all right, the activities for me to do that is I had to take out takes me 21 minutes and 7 seconds to place an ad. That's one of the activities. Okay. Obviously, you have to have a place ready. In this case, it's a backyard. I had to do nothing but cut the grass, and I paid somebody to cut the grass. But in order for me to get up to $480,000 per month, excuse me, not $480,000 per month, in order for me to get up to $48,000 per month, okay, I've got to do 10 per month, every month. All right. I got to do 10 of those a month. All right. So, and as far as time goes, let's just round things out. 20 minutes times 10. That's 200 minutes divided by 60. I had to spend a little bit over 3 hours to do that. I'm willing to do that to get up to $48,000 per month by this time next year. Let's see. Let's go to Robin real quick. Well, good morning, Robin. Oh, okay, Robin's light is on, but okay, she might be else somewhere else. All right, she left a message for me. I'm trying to find it. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go to, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay, typo. All right, she's making a call. So now, if you want to earn, now let's just simplify this. If you want to earn $5,000 per hour, okay, using the same basic housing model, okay, let's start off with something simple. Just do one, all right? What activities do you need to do in order to rent out a house or a room or whatever you want to rent out, a car? What do you have to do within an hour to get $500? All right, by legal means. All right. Now, there are plenty of people on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, your daily classified paper all over the United States that have rooms for rent, houses for rent, on Airbnb. They're a never-ending supply of houses and rooms, studio suites, tree houses, backyards, you name it, that are available for $500 a month. Okay. Plenty of them. Most people rent it out once, and they get their $500 per month, and that's it. If you want to collapse it down to $5,000 an hour, then, now you might have to take some partners in on this one, or hire an employee or two or three. You know, because once again, it takes me 21 minutes and 7 seconds on average to do an ad. And who's calling me? Which I'm not going to answer the phone. As a matter of fact, I'm going to hang up on them right now because it's somebody trying to sell something. 500 times 10 is $5,000. So if you can get an employee and train them, you know, where you've placed 10 ads. Because it's kind of hard for one person to place. Well, actually, if you did it, you can. One person technically could do it. You write one ad and then you place it in different categories. You can do it that way. I mean, not different categories, but different platforms. All right, or you can hire somebody for. You know, if you pay somebody $15 to $20 an hour. Okay, because they're not on that wavelength of even thinking about $5,000 in an hour. They're just thinking about, you know, well, I'm getting paid $15 to $20, and you know, particularly you say, you know what, if you accomplish this, if you place a certain amount of ads within 1 hour, I'll pay you in cash. Cash App. Oh, they'll get it done. So if you hire, let's say, two people. Okay. Between two people, man, you know what, let's make it three. Between three people, and let's up it. Let's say you're going to pay them $20 each. Okay. Teenagers can do this. All right. Say, look, if you place, you know what, to tell the truth, I would hire, because I'm thinking on the fly here. hire 5 teenagers, pay them $20. Now, you tell them, you know what? If you place these 2 ads, which would take them about 40 minutes total, 42 minutes, something like that, if you place these 2 ads within 60 minutes, not only will I pay you $20 for your time, I'm going to throw in $5 extra, so they get $25 for an hour. I would hire 5 teenagers for this. Okay. No, make it 4. I'm simplifying this. That's $100. Okay. You're going to make 5,000. So just subtract 100 from the 5,000. And have 10 ads at $500 each, and just place it on ad and let the universe do the rest. That's a simplified way. Now, the key is if you can maintain that. Now, we're not talking about you doing this 8 hours a day. If you want to do it 8 hours a day and you figure out the logistics and the activities that you need and the personnel is needed, great. I'm just simplifying this for 1 hour. But if you can maintain this 5 days a week, and that's where the ball, in my opinion, that's where the ball is going. Because if you want to see, if you want to look into the future, I would suggest go check out some, two things. Get a currency converter on your phone or your laptop or your tablet or whatever. Get a currency converter and then see what people are paying for items, you know, lodging, rent, private school, car notes, grocery bills. See what people are paying in other countries, because that's going to give you a preview of what's going to be coming to the United States. An example, one of our neighbors, Mexico. Okay, now I got a currency converter on my phone, and let's look at okay. Okay, let me add Mexico on my list. Okay, Mexico. And we're doing this because, see, what's happening in Mexico will be happening in the United States real soon, and in some cases in various parts of the United States, it's happening right now. Here we go, Mexico. All right, now. Right now, 1 American dollar multiplies into 20.78 Mexican pesos. Right now. Okay. So, let's say in Mexico, let's see, all right. Let me get this right. Okay. And we're going to have to get some real prices for this. I'm shooting off the fly right now. Okay, so let's say you find a place in Mexico that you pay 2,000 pesos per month in rent. Okay? 2,000 pesos per month in rent. There are places like that in various parts of Mexico. It'll be harder to find in your tourist areas like Puerto Vallarta and Cancun, but because a lot of those places have become westernized to a high degree. But in a lot of parts of Mexico, you can find a place to rent for 2,000 pesos a month, which translates into $100 at today's exchange rate. All right? Now, this is what I mean by having a currency converter on your phone, and then if you can, go to Mexico or go to other developing countries and check out what they're paying for prices, because See, the $2,000 monthly rent that you're going to pay in Mexico, real soon in the United States, and matter of fact, already in certain parts of the United States, like Washington, D.C., Boston, Massachusetts, some parts of Chicago, Illinois, Seattle, Washington, definitely San Francisco, California, Honolulu, Hawaii, Los Angeles, California, San Diego, California, Miami, Florida, and those places right now, there are places that you can rent a studio or apartment for $2,000 a month. All right. Inflation is going, like I say, now you got people that are paying $15,000 a month, $30,000 a month for living expenses. So it might be cheap in dollars now, but you look what they're paying in you know, those high amounts in those countries. If you see $15,000 for whatever you're paying in Mexico now, pretty soon, or in some cases, you'll be paying $15,000 a month for the roof over your head or the car you drive here in the United States. That's why I'm saying you need to start thinking in terms of whatever you earn in a year. You need to start thinking of, like, if you earn $50,000 a year here in the United States, you seriously need to start figuring out a way in which you can earn $50,000 per month or $50,000 per week, or for some people, $50,000 per day, all by legal means. And there are a lot of people on YouTube that do this. A lot of people are doing it. A lot of people have been doing it through eBay for years. A lot of people are doing it on Amazon right now in their pajamas. The day of the remote, people working remote, it's here. You know, it was in motion before the pandemic. Now more and more people are doing it. Because, that, you know, that's just the way the culture is right now with this COVID thing. But that's just one example. It's a real sanitized example. You know, you rent out something for $500. And let's say $500 a month. But a la Steve Harvey, 10 by 10, the next month you do 10. It can be, you can rent out 10 cars, 10 rooms, 10 houses, 10 anything at $500 a month. At the end of a year or 12 months, you should be making $50,000, if, of course, if everybody pays. And once again, you need to be realistically with the 80-20 rule. Actually, I'm going to use the $50,000 per month using the – I'm going to go to 70-30 rule. You know, 70% of that, 70% of those people will pay. So although if everybody paid, you'll be getting $50,000, but realistically, because life happens, somebody got sick, just life, man. Everything that you hear that people can't pay rent, it happens. Okay, so it might be scheduled that you're going to make $50,000, but realistically, you'll probably net about $35,000 in a month. All right, and then from that, like I say, you know, YouTube's got a bunch of people that, you know, just follow what they do and whatnot. Let's see, Robin, are you back? Okay, wait a minute. I think, hold it, where'd she go? Okay, here she goes. Good morning, Robin.
Hi.
Now, what was you mentioning about, okay. Podcast transcription. Right, people can start their kind of business. Hey, they can start there.
Say what?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
So I stumbled upon that this morning. You know how we are also focusing on home-based business, community-based business.
Right.
And mm-hmm. we all know that I have created a very large community, podcast and radio and television broadcasting mm-hmm. community, right? So this morning, I stumbled upon transcription. Now, many people like to get their books transcribed, their shows, transcriptions of shows. Transcriptions are very popular. Of TV shows, you can write in to get a transcription of a TV show or a talk show that you watch and or whatever, right? They're mm-hmm. and they're kind of costly to get. Okay?
Right.
They have some now. So I have a phone service, right? A phone system, and one of the features of the phone system is it transcribes the calls.
Okay.
And so how do we conduct most of our shows? On calls,
yeah,
right?
On calls, talking, right.
So I said, And I looked out, and I'm looking at the prices for transcriptions, and I'm like, well, looky there. So I'm going to create a transcription business for book authors, blah, 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 whomever. I don't care. Right?
Right.
$10 transcriptions, okay, for the whole thing. I don't care how large or how big or whatever it is. Then if you want to edit it, then that will cost. We'll give you the raw transcription because, you know, the raw transcriptions, the little thing might miss words or blah, 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 right? So
right.
we can give you a raw transcription for $10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want it edited, now we're looking at blah, 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 blah. But those $10
mm-hmm.
transcriptions, man, those are going to sell off. And I could become a millionaire just off of that.
Right. And speaking of that word millionaire, this goes back to earning $5,000 per hour. The activities.
Yes.
Anybody
sir.
Can earn any amount of money that they want. You just have to find out what activities that you need to do. All right. Now, for us, you know, part of what we do is, you know, a lot of ideas I get from Robin is the 21-minute, 7-second ad. It's just Robin gave me some marching orders next week. Essentially, I need to play some, at least 5 days a week I need to play those. So for me, that's an activity.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something I want everybody, when it comes to activities. It's October right now. We're in the fourth quarter of 2021. Next month, there will be the biggest shopping day of the year on the planet.
Yep, ever.
And for some people, you think it's Black Friday. No, it's not Black Friday. This event is called Singles Day, and it's out of China. Singles Day dwarfs Black Friday when it comes to sales.
Wow.
Matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and type in Singles Day China or Live Shopping China. Now, this is another reason why I love Facebook. Facebook has a live shopping element to it now, a feature to it, really. Now, so some of the things that we'll be doing as far as the rooms with the campers, with the tiny house and all that, we'll be doing live streams and we'll be doing live selling. But if you take a look at Singles Day, and once again, go to YouTube and put in it's November the 11th. Singles Day is November the 11th. every year, okay, they dwarf anything we do with Black Friday in this country.
Interesting.
Dwarf.
You've got farmers that live
in remote areas of China that sell out their whole crop by doing live stream selling. With live stream selling, you can earn $5,000 in an hour, $20,000 an hour, or $100,000 an hour. Go ahead, Rob.
Whatever your product is, right? Regardless of what your product is. Oh my goodness. It allows you to do your own QVC.
There you go.
If you will. Now,
you know what? And I'm glad you said that.
Now, wait a minute. Now, see, one thing about Facebook, though, is that Facebook, you run your content, your original content that you created, that's intellectual property. That's
right.
Your intellectual property. But people don't realize that once you broadcast and stream live on Facebook or any other platform, and you leave it there on the archives and on demand, okay, they are automatically assigned some rights that allow them to run advertising on your content, and they receive millions of dollars on your content, and they don't give you any of it. So this is the reason.
But with live shopping, though.
This is the reason why I created our own television stations and channels that we originate from, so that we can run ads and blah, 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 and then no one else obtains any rights to our content that allows them
to make millions of dollars. You're ahead of the American game
that.
Because in China, there's 10 or 11 Facebooks in China, believe it or not.
Yep. Yes.
So, I mean, over here in the United States, Facebook is the big deal. You know, over in China, there are 10 or 11 Facebooks. So where they do live streaming. So contact Robin if you want to get in on what she's talking about.
Because all the platforms that we originate and create, they are directly in mainstream media. So when we stream live on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, along with Facebook and the social medias. Okay? So on Facebook, you're only social media streaming. On our network, we are on a network that's on par with CBS and BET. And we are in the same TV, the number one worldwide TV guide that they are, which is the Roku channel store.
Now,
and the Amazon.
So contact Robin directly on that. You'll be ahead of the game as far as the United States goes. Actually, probably the Western, at least the northern part of the Western Hemisphere.
And one last thing, LA. Also, one thing that our network does at I Am Streaming is we syndicate and distribute your content with monetization, meaning that the station and the channel owners are allowed to keep 80% of the revenue that's generated on their station.
Because right now I think YouTube takes. YouTube live chat.
YouTube, wait a minute. YouTube, you have to have 1,000 subscribers, you have to have so many conditions that you have to meet.
4,000 watch hours. 4,000 watch hours.
At I Am Streaming, we don't have any of those requirements. And right off the bat, you just simply receive 80% of the revenue that comes off of the advertising. Most networks, they don't give their channel owners any of the revenue. Most of them require them to have bring in advertising, and if they don't, they charge them. We don't do that. Oh, also,
all right,
there's only a one-time setup fee, and then we don't charge you a monthly fee. And then you'll also allowed to receive that monetization, and that's what no other network is doing. So
right, contact Robin. How do if they're interested? How can they contact you?
You can reach me you can reach me at my email at robinlynnmabin@gmail.com, or if it's in regards to the getting a station or a channel, imstreaming1@gmail.com. imstreaming1@gmail.com.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to play some clips here from Singles Day, so to give you guys an idea.
Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba has surpassed last year's Singles Day sales record. The firm's online sales brought in an eye-watering $38 billion US in a single day on Monday. Now, among the four nations taking part, South Korean companies enjoy the third highest sales numbers. Lee Sung-jae reports.
November 11th is Singles Day in China, and also the day of the world's biggest online shopping bonanza. Smashing last year's record of $30.8 billion, Alibaba, China's biggest e-commerce company, set a new record on Monday, logging an astonishing $38 billion in sales. However, the on-year increase of about 25% is slightly lower than the rate of growth Alibaba recorded in 2018, when the company reported a 27% jump. Analysts say the slightly weaker growth this year comes amid China's slowing economy and Beijing's trade war with the United States. Singles Day is also an opportunity for South Korean companies, as the Chinese market is home to 1.3 billion consumers. A considerable amount of South Korean companies record sales higher than their annual sales on Singles Day alone. K-Beauty, which is popular in China, have helped sales of Korean cosmetic brands such as Amore Pacific, LG Household and Healthcare, and Aegyung explode. For the second straight year, South Korea was third among foreign countries to have sold the most goods on Singles Day. From midnight on Monday to 1 a.m. the following day, 84 South Korean companies enjoyed combined sales of over $14 million. South Korean companies only trailed U.S. and Japanese firms in terms of sales. South Korea first made the top three in 2016. However, tensions between Seoul and Beijing over South Korea's deployment of the THAAD missile defense system saw the country slump to fifth in 2017. Lee Sung-jae, Arirang News.
$14 billion. That's how much Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce giant, made in just 24 hours. That's more than the total online U.S. sales from both Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. It happened during an unofficial Chinese holiday called Singles Day. But what is Alibaba? What is Singles Day? And how did they make so much money so quickly? Singles Day literally translates to Bear Sticks Holiday, a reference to the Chinese expression bear branches. The expression refers to bachelors who aren't adding branches to the family tree. Now, all of this is rooted in China's one-child policy. Implemented between 1978 and 1980, it was intended to curb the country's overpopulation problem, but the policy had unintended blowback. China now has a massive gender imbalance. By 2020, it's projected that men will outnumber females by at least 30 million, hence Singles Day. From this national turmoil, the unofficial holiday was born at this university. It's a day that was initially meant for single men to party with other single friends. Though, fast forward to 2009, Alibaba CEO Daniel Zhang sees a business opportunity to co-opt the unofficial holiday in an attempt to drum up more online sales. In China, spikes in shopping sales were common in late September before China's National Day, and again in the first 2 months of the year before the Spring Festival. Those two retail polls created a lull in late autumn, which Alibaba hoped to exploit with deep price cuts. And it worked. Seeing the potential of Alibaba's move, most Chinese retailers jumped on board the next year. Now, Singles Day has become the biggest shopping day in the entire world, and it looks like it's just going to get even bigger.
His name is Li Jiaqi, her name is Via. They are top two live streamers of Chinese online shopping apps. These two guys, they made a combined sales of full $100 million in just one day. That's equivalent to the revenue of 10 million.
Now, I'm going to play that again because, you know, her English, I understand it, but you got to pay close attention to it. She just mentioned two of China's top e-commerce, they call them influencers, Austin Lee and Via, which is her e-commerce name. Those two people alone, just those two, did over $400 million in a day. Just two people. I've got friends that, one, she's in maritime Southeast Asia. People, regular individuals, you know, like over here, we have thrift sales and yard sales. What they're doing over here, and we can do the same thing over here, and I'm sure there are probably some people over here doing it also, but they're in their living room basically. You know, I got this dress, I got this pair of pants, I got this blouse, I got this hat, this pair of shoes or whatever. And if kids are playing in the background, you know, 4 or 5 years old, playing in the background, and they're making bank selling used clothes in their living room. $5,000 per hour. Anyway, once again, I'm going to play this again. I'm going to play the whole thing. But pay close attention. Just these two people did over $400 million in a day.
His name is Li Jiaqi. Her name is Via. They are top two live streamers of Chinese online shopping apps. These two guys, they made a combined sales of full $100 million in just one day. That's equivalent to the revenue of 10 Macy's stores in a year. This is a new phenomenon in China known as e-commerce live streaming started in 2016. In just 3 years, the market is hitting $63 billion this year. That is 6 times the size of U.S. box office revenue. So today, let's talk about this live streaming in e-commerce. How does it work? Why has it been so successful? And what the future might look like? But before jumping to this topic, I also want to provide some context about e-commerce in China. China has undeniably the largest online retail market in the world.
The market is estimated to reach $1.5 trillion in 2019. That's not just larger than online markets in the US, UK, Japan, Germany, France, Canada, Korea, Russia, India, Indonesia, Brazil, Argentina. It's larger than the next 10 markets combined.
So despite the enormous size of the market, it is still growing more than 20% every year. And you can imagine the innovations happening in the industry that fuel the growth. And live streaming is definitely one of the drivers in the recent years. So how does that actually look like in real life? Here's a demo. Let's go tap into an e-commerce app. Go to the live streaming section. And you will see many stores doing live streaming. Let's go pick one.
So this live streamer, she's trying on her own story design coat. Not only you've got to see how a coat fits into a real person, you can even ask her questions here, and she will respond to you in real time. If you're interested in learning more about the product link is right below. And if you click on that, it will direct you to the product page where you can learn more details, make a purchase while the live streaming is still on the page. And you can just switch between the product page and live streaming seamlessly. So now the question is, why this format of selling is able to create an industry of $63 billion? I think there are three reasons. Number one, fundamentally, it's adding one element that has been missing in online shopping since its birth, that is human. So think about what information you have when you are shopping at Amazon.com today.
You have text, images, reviews.
Now, live streaming just completely transformed the way you can learn about products online. You basically let a salesperson demonstrate all the possible details about the product in some way not even possible today in physical stores. Like, every time I go to lipstick counters, I wish I could try all the colors. But in reality, I wouldn't try more than three. Now, with live streaming, they just made a dream come true. Check out the guy here.
全套是08号色，来，我79号，这件色88号色。Oh
my
god！YSL小金条来了，我的想要的
Burberry
来了，最流行的格纹。来，开始试色 Chanel，哇，112号，114号色。Oh my
god！Wow，so beautiful！
女王瑰丽限量版，哇哦，神仙
！Oh my god！感觉你嘴巴在发火。I
don't remember how many lipsticks I bought because of his live streaming. It's just so irresistible and compelling. Anyway, let's talk about reason number two, branding ecosystem. In the US, if brands want to do digital marketing, they have to go to Google search or Facebook. Today in China, live streaming in e-commerce has become a norm for marketers. Brands of all kinds you can think of, they have all done live streaming this year. Head & Shoulders, Nestle, Estee Lauder, Adidas, Yves Saint Laurent, you name it. And the more brands participating, the more discount those companies are willing to give away in order to stay competitive, and as a result, more consumers are attracted to watch live streaming. Because more users start to watch live streaming, more brands start to do live streaming. The cycle just goes on and on and on. This year, more than 150 million people have watched live streaming at least once. That's half of the US population. The last reason has to do with technology. When live streaming in e-commerce started 3 years ago, the most traffic only came in the evening when people got connected to Wi-Fi. Now, thanks to the adoption of 4G, people can watch videos at any time, anywhere. This has largely contributed to the increase in traffic. So now the industry has grown to $63 billion, double the size of last year. The question then is, will the momentum continue? My personal observation is yes, also for three reasons. Reason number one, 5G. With the arrival of 5G, it will deliver some of the performance not possible today. For example, how can a brand claim that their product is so effective cleaning your pores while the result is not visually accessible to you online? But that's going to be possible in the future with the video quality empowered by 5G. Reason number two, live streaming will bring more product categories to online shopping. So some product categories are more adopted in online environments than others. Like electronics in China, half of the revenue comes from online today versus categories like car, furniture, jewelry, the penetration is below 10%, which makes sense. Right? You do need more visual and experiential information to make purchase decision, which is exactly what live streaming can offer. Reason number three, live streaming will improve supply chain efficiency and therefore accelerating product selling cycle.
Let's say your store sells handbags. Today the product cycle might look like this. You design, produce, distribute, display, and consumers make orders. From the design to reaching end users, it probably takes 6 months. With live streaming, however, because you can get consumer feedback so fast and get a pretty good estimate of purchase intent, it's possible to go from the design directly to the consumer orders. And this way, not only saves your inventory cost, but also makes you sell more.
With that, I'm pretty optimistic about the future of e-commerce live streaming. Before closing off, I just want to share one last thought.
Chinese online shopping started in 2003 with the launch of Taobao, owned by Alibaba. Now it has 750 million users, more than twice the number of Amazon's users globally. In 2004, first a mobile online payment was introduced, Alipay. Now it has users 1.2 billion, three times the number of Apple Pay's users globally. In 2009, first a shopping festival Singles Day was born, and this year it delivered a whopping 38 billion sales in 24 hours, four times the size of Cyber Monday sales in the US.
While I was doing research about this industry, I actually couldn't find any equivalent in the US market. Do you think that's something applicable to the US market at all? Leave your comments below and let me know. Thank you so much for watching. Next week, I will be talking about 10 moments in China tech of this decade. Stay tuned.
17 billion dollars. That's how much Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce giant, made in just 24 hours. That's more than the total online U.S. sales from both Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. It happened during an unofficial Chinese holiday called Singles Day. But what is Alibaba? What is Singles Day? And how did they make so much money so quickly? Singles Day literally translates to Bear Sticks Holiday, a reference to the Chinese expression bear branches. The expression refers to bachelors who aren't adding branches to the family tree. Now, all of this is rooted in China's one-child policy. Implemented between 1978 and 1980, it was intended to curb the country's overpopulation problem, but the policy had unintended blowback. China now has a massive gender imbalance. By 2020, it's projected that men will outnumber females by at least 30 million, hence Singles Day. From this national turmoil, the unofficial holiday was born at this university. It's a day that was initially meant for single men to party with other single friends. Though, fast forward to 2009, Alibaba CEO Daniel Zhang sees a business opportunity to co-opt the unofficial holiday in an attempt to drum up more online sales. In China, spikes in shopping sales were common in late September before China's National Day, and again in the first 2 months of the year before the Spring Festival. Those two retail polls created a lull in late autumn, which Alibaba hoped to exploit with deep price cuts. And it worked. Seeing the potential of Alibaba's move, most Chinese retailers jumped on board the next year. Now, Singles Day has become the biggest shopping day in the entire world, and it looks like it's just going to get even bigger.
Austin Li Jiaqi is a 27-year-old beauty advisor turned live streamer and one of the top influencers in China. He once sold 15,000 lipsticks in only 5 minutes and has a following of 42.1 million fans on Douyin. Each month, he earns over $150,000. This was made possible because of live streaming e-commerce, a rising trend in China. In addition to making stars out of streamers like Li Jiaqi, it's driving billions of sales to e-commerce platforms. So how does it work? Generally speaking, it has similarities to traditional TV shopping. Products are showcased by hosts and sold at discount prices. But with live streaming, there's added real-time interaction. This allows audiences to ask questions about products, which streamers can directly answer. Things sold by live streamers include just about anything. Things like coats, lipsticks, a Maserati, an apartment, and even a rocket launch service. So this begs the question, what makes live streaming and e-commerce a good match? Live streaming entered China in 2015 and quickly gained popularity. By June 2019, the number of live streaming users reached 433 million, making up over 50% of Chinese internet users. In Initially, live streaming was mostly for entertainment and socialization. But in 2016, Alibaba launched Taobao Live, adding a live streaming feature to the e-commerce platform. The aim was to entice users to spend more time on Taobao, and the strategy worked. During Singles Day 2019, users who watched live streaming spent an average of 53 minutes on Taobao, twice as much as those who didn't.
即使是在线上交易或体验的时候，还是会无限的去追求这个体验接近于线下的。无论是说被人服务的这种感觉，然后交互的这种速度，还有这种信息量上，那其实直播都是更符合那个趋势的。
Taobao Live now has over 400 million cumulative users and exceeded a GMV of 28.3 billion last year. And it got another boost due to the coronavirus outbreak. Since physical stores were forced to stay closed during the pandemic, brand owners turned to live streaming to sell their products. Compared with January, the number of merchants that used Taobao Live increased by 719% in February. In fact, sales driven by the top two Taobao streamers, Via and Li Jiaqi, have already exceeded most physical stores. During Singles Day 2019, Via sold 2.7 billion yuan worth of products within 24 hours, with Li Jiaqi also selling over 1 billion. Due to their influence, top streamers hold great bargaining power over suppliers. This allows them to get products at the lowest price and helps attract more customers. Apart from full-time streamers, e-commerce live streaming also provided opportunities for farmers and small business owners. According to Kuaishou, over 19 million users have sold products on the platform by 2019, and 5 million of them are living in poor areas. In many cases, becoming a successful live streamer isn't something one can simply pick up. Most streamers are involved with MCNs, or multi-channel networks. These are talent incubators that train talent and offer assistance for growing fan base and connecting with brands. But very few of them can reach the level of Li Jiaqi and Via. The top live streamers contribute to more sales than those at the bottom. E-commerce companies are also looking toward live streaming for growth. JD.com, Pinduoduo, and Moguo are among the e-commerce companies to launch live stream features in recent years, while Kuaishou and Douyin also plan on becoming significant players in the market. On April 1st, Luo Yonghao, the charismatic founder of smartphone brand Smartisan, made his live stream debut on Douyin. He sold more than $15.5 million worth of goods in 3 hours. This partnership has marked Douyin's ambitions to challenge the incumbent leader Taobao Live. Live streaming e-commerce has also made its way outside of China. In Southeast Asia, Shopee and Alibaba-owned Lazada have also added live streaming to their platforms. So will live streaming change the e-commerce scene in China and the rest of the world? It remains to be seen, but there are some promising signs.
If you like this video, hit the like and subscribe buttons. If you're interested in learning more about China's tech scene, visit creatia.com using the link in the description below.
If you look at the four driving forces, in addition to globalization, for the first time in human history, 3 billion people are connected. In 5 years, people expect 4 billion people to be connected. That's going to make a big difference to how companies operate. The second, digital technologies are becoming extremely inexpensive. For example, the cell phone is only the starting point that you can get a cell phone for $30. But you can also get 16 gigabits of memory in a USB for less than $20. So the costs are going down dramatically. And this means technology does not differentiate any longer between the rich and the poor. The poorest people can have exactly the same technology as the rich have. Maybe less bells and whistles, but the same technology. The cell phone is just the starting point. And then there is convergence of technologies. The cell phone is a phone, it's a computer, it's a map, it's a watch, it's a camera. So all these technologies and businesses are coming together. And finally, I think social networks are becoming extremely important, like Facebook, MySpace. So if you take these four drivers, connectivity, digital technologies, certainly convergence of technologies and industries, and social networks, coupled with globalization, is going to fundamentally create new opportunities and new ways to compete. So the substance of the book assumes these driving forces and then asks the question, how would the poor and the rich markets change dramatically, and therefore how do we create value? That is the core substance of the book. If you look at what the heritage of most companies are, I say let's go back to Model T. If you look at Model T, it was totally vertically integrated. You put iron ore on one side, you get cars on the other side. All the resources required to create the product was within the company. And more importantly, it was an undifferentiated consumer base. That's why the famous one-liner from Henry Ford, any color car is okay as long as it's black. That's our heritage. No company operates that way today. But that's our heritage. That's where we're coming from. I'm going to the other extreme. If you can think of one consumer experience at a time, even if you have 100 million consumers. For example, Google has 100 million consumers. But I can go to Google and construct my own page. It's called iGoogle. So it is one personalized experience at a time. And a more important part is none of the content in Google is produced by Google. So all the content comes from outsiders. They aggregate it and give it to me. So one consumer experience at a time. And in order to serve that one consumer, you get resources from around the globe. This is very different. It's 180 degree different from Model T. So I call this N equal to 1, one unique personalized experience. And or the resources are global. This is very different from vertically integrated, undifferentiated consumers. That's where the world is going. And that is true whether you're in Starbucks or you're in Apple. Apple, you can create your own music portfolio, but Apple does not create the content. Neither does Apple produce the device. The device is made in China. The displays come from Japan. The semiconductors come from South Korea. They're all put together. The software is owned and the design is owned by Apple, but that's about all. So it's R equal to J, one consumer portfolio at a time. You make your own portfolio of music. So this is happening not only in what I call the new age companies, Google, Apple, Netflix, and so on, but also old age companies like in tires, insurance, automotive, and healthcare. So that, I think, is the new approach, N equal to 1, one personalized experience, and resources from around the world to make it happen.
All right, that was C.K. Perhollet, the author of Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, as I mentioned several times before. I recommend this book, but you can go on YouTube for free and just type in his name, C.K. Perhollet, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. He's got a number of lectures on there. And something that Robin mentioned before we go to our next caller. Robin, QVC, you're right on the money.
Yeah.
Because that a Singles Day, that's essentially what it is. And but they've got things going every day of the week. Now, we've got the basic tools over here, but if you want to give a shameless plug for what your company again, because you've got a little bit more freedom than a YouTube.
Yes. Yeah, and we're letting people come on, and we're not making them have 1,000 subscribers and this, that, or other. You just have to be bringing your content. You know, it has to be fresh content, daily content, you know, updated like that. You focus on
your
content.
Now, what about the QVC aspect of it?
So that's what. However you conduct your show, that's what you do on your show. So you do your show like a Facebook Live or a QVC. You're on there
mm-hmm.
selling or listing products or whatever, right?
Right.
Are you talking about, you know, like QVC does, or Facebook Live, Marketplace Live, I'm trying to say, does.
Okay.
Okay? And then with your own station and own channel, instead of logging into Facebook, you log into with your credentials to our channel, which is in mainstream, and then it feeds to Facebook and their whatever. And at that point, Facebook can't assign or assume any intellectual property or make money because it's being served from your server. Does
Got
that make
it.
Sense? And not theirs.
Yeah.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. So that's the reason why they're so freely to let you go on there and broadcast, because it sits in the archive, and then you get companies all over the world, corporations that give them millions of dollars.
Right.
Yep. And they're not nice enough to say, hey, you know what, we made a few hundred thousand dollars off of your content. You know, here's $10,000 for you. They're not going to do that, but we'll do better than that. We're not going to charge you to host you. There is a setup fee, but we're not going to charge you to host you. There's only a one-time setup fee, and then you'll receive 80% of the revenue that comes in from the advertising. That's the business model. So you'll be broadcasting, but we provide broadcasting with monetization. And that's something no other network will reach out to do to work to get monetization on your channel and your station.
Okay.
Just saying, hit me up. I am streaming number1@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh,
if you need a radio station,
Park.
I can hook you up with that too. A radio station, a TV. You need a podcast set up? Hit me up. I got you.
All right. I guess we'll get to the QVC part another day. 314.
Okay,
your mic is open.
L.A. and Robin.
Hi.
What a pair.
A pair of what, though?
Are you guys making money?
Well,
yeah.
Separately we are. We're about to make some jointly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good to see.
But
the
whole idea is for other people to get on board of this. I'm looking at the root of it. C.K. Park, which you've read the book, Perhala's book, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid.
Yeah, that's in developing country. You ain't going to find it in much. It ain't not like that in the United States. But I'd tell you one reason. One thing, for instance,
hold
in
on,
the optical.
What about, you don't think the dollar stores and places like, what's that tool shop? They sell discounted
Harbor.
Yeah, Harbor Freight. Don't you think that's
yeah.
dressing the bottom of the pyramid in this country?
Harbor Freight?
Yeah, Harbor Freight, the dollar stores, Dollar General, you know, all those.
Yeah,
you know.
Harbor Freight can be said to do that, but we're looking at something that's already established.
Okay.
Harbor Freight.
Oh, well, they are. True.
I think I bought one thing from a Jack. But the thing is that there is in other areas, like I keep telling you, in space. Space junk. Also, another area, which, of course, it wouldn't be a continuing, is removing the islands of plastic that's floating around on the ocean. And some of your
videos on that.
Riverways. Yeah.
I like to see them clean up the Mississippi River myself.
Mississippi River ain't too bad.
At least the portion that goes through New Orleans. Man, that water
that's down.
Mud.
Well, that's the mouth of the river. That's where everything from Minnesota on down finally reaches.
I didn't consider that. I didn't consider it. You're
yeah.
right. Because that's a lot of, what do you call it, soot? That's nothing
silt,
but brown, man.
Sediment.
Yeah, settlement.
Yeah, for growing. Mm-hmm. Replanting marshes.
I guess that won't happen no time soon. Yeah, you're right.
Reforesting desert areas, that's a business. You know, on a world scene. And
well,
it's
now,
still
Barry,
a lot of things. But you know,
when
oh,
it comes
what
to STEM,
I was going to say.
Part of STEM is, you know, engineering. And engineers, you know, they come up with new ways of doing things.
Engineers create things so it's no problem no more.
Right.
You
would
talking
you recommend
about,
what are the top, in your opinion, for somebody in high school or even middle school, I call it junior high, what would you recommend as far as anybody that might be interested in engineering? What aspect of engineering would you suggest to them?
Well, you got to see what their child is capable of grasping. That's why a children should be introduced to things like electricity. They should be introduced to levers,
mm-hmm.
Chemistry, biology, magnetism. Children should be introduced to those things very early. So they can understand, you know, just a couple of magnets, four magnets,
mm-hmm.
is a good thing for child.
Now, of
to
course,
play.
some of the advanced math when you get to high school would be included in that, like trigonometry, calculus, and all that.
They should be introduced to that very early. Child should be able to do advanced calculus at sixth grade.
Good Lord, well that left me out.
Because I've seen
well,
him do
you
it
gotta
in
have
sixth
some
grade.
Good, now, you got to have some good math teachers or arithmetic. I mean, you got to learn. I'm imagining you got to have a good. I'll give you an example. In ninth grade, I got a D in Algebra 1. I had to go to summer school because
mm-hmm.
you can't graduate with a D on your, you know, at least where I was. So, now, my science teacher taught Algebra 1 in summer school. And he was really good at, I mean, breaking it down where I got the hang of it. And I went from a
mm-hmm.
D to an A. It wasn't given to me. I mean, I actually understood it.
Well, yeah, that's what you need to do with a young person. See, you came in at high school, so you're talking about 18 years of old, 18 years of age. So you should
mm-hmm.
have been done that a long time ago. Earlier, much earlier.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, see, black kids, not all, way too many, they come from some lousy political areas, and also the schools are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why come people flee them. You have to start a child off very, very early, as early as you possibly can. And the people that's doing these things got to know what they're doing, too.
Right.
And that's
well,
what I
that
say.
That makes sense because my best friend in high school happened to be a black dude. Well, I'll say John. That was his first name. I won't say his last name. But he was very versed in math. I mean, the advanced math by the time he got to high school. But his parents, one was an educator and one was a computer scientist. They got all their kids. I mean, academics was, I mean.
Well, that's where it is.
Yeah.
They was educated
right.
themselves. It's, so
right.
they, and I don't know if they was educated before they had him, but they probably was. And that's
mm-hmm.
where you start creating a gene pool. And also, he probably seen what they done all the
right.
time. It was probably reading. And the thing
yeah,
that
they were doing
read,
that, and they were in private schools from the get go.
It was in private schools, which is a good thing because private schools cost. And then people seen the precious things more when they pay for it than when it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much in it, but you have to start a young person off young to see what they do. Our kids spend too much time in sports. Especially basketball and football now.
I agree, and I played basketball, got a scholarship, but you're right, now it's like it's man, it's overload. Too many people involved in sports.
Yeah, now I had my grandson. I had him involved in a lot of things, how I determined he'd be a good ball player. African dance and drumming. I could see his feet work, and I seen his hands work. He couldn't do a sit-up because his head was, he couldn't pick his head up. He was so young. But he could dance. He could move his feet. He could glide. He liked gliding. He played a game here yesterday. He went 4-for-5 in a semi-pro game. So he's still playing baseball. He's still doing his academics. He's got one more major to do. And he's doing his aviation studies. But kids should be
schedule.
Yeah, you have to keep it tight. He's not a man yet, even though he's 23. He's a ways off from that. And people who know what men look like is the ones that tell them, yeah, you're a man now, but right now you're not a man. And see, here's the reason why, because you got so much more to learn today than you did, say, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, you're right about that.
See, when students go to college, they going into their 20s. That's one reason why come this great country of ours lets you claim a dependent through their 25th birthday rather than stopping off at 18. That's they going to school. And when you go into school, you can't be working. The time that you are working, you could be learning and improving on your own skills. Children have to learn about their own personal development, how to do personal development. You can go. You can either go through a four-year college or you can learn that on your own in a process called personal development. And that's there is very important. I ask myself, when would I start reading? Well, I constantly read something coming in, things that I'm fascinated in. But children should be exposed to matter. They should be exposed to solids, gas, liquids. And then the fifth one is plasma now that they know of. Chemistry, physiology, literature, all those things a child should be exposed in. You know, when you look at Black's Nobel Peace Prize winner, you only got four blacks in the whole world that had won the Nobel Peace Prize.
And Martin Luther King's one of them.
Yeah, three of them in peace. One of them in literature. None in physics. None in science. I'm sorry, chemistry. None in medicine. Why is that? United States has 375.
Dr. Charles Drew, he didn't get he didn't win a Nobel Peace Prize for that.
I don't think he did. What was he going to win?
I don't think
then?
He did either.
He wasn't not in medicine. He discovered plasma. Your friend's going to be checking what I said, so he'll tell you if I'm right or wrong. But it's true. And that's because you don't. Now, if basketball was a item, they'd win a whole bunch of them.
Well,
right,
but that's not.
If football was a category, they win a bunch of them. And kids aren't balanced. I listen to parents. I listen to a parent Sunday talking about her son. Oh, two of them talking about their son and their football prowess. He said, "Yeah, he's going to the NBA." And I think that just like I think that some families sacrifice a member so they can get payouts, you got parents that sacrifice their children to the area of trying to become a professional athlete because it's a what?
The aspect of professional sports, in my opinion, put it this way. I tell people, if I had to do high school over again, because I played ball in high school and college, I wouldn't, and I'm 6'8", I wouldn't have went out for the team as a player. I would have been laughed at. I would have volunteered to be a manager, and I'm not even interested in coaching. I want to get into the front office stuff or even the ownership aspect of it or even sports manufacturing. The Chinese make more money off the NBA and the NFL than any of the players that anybody knows of, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah, because they see it's more than just the field and the court.
Right.
You got the audiovisual.
Oh, the arena.
You got coaching.
Right.
You got landscaping in the arenas. You got
the electrical
ambulance.
Plumbing, building the arena.
Yeah, all those things. You got concessions.
Right.
Concessions, marketing, food concessions, marketing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Liquor sales. All those parts of that. But you only see blacks on the court.
They never talk about those topics. They never talk about
those. Now, you know, you do have some bright minds like Maynard Jackson, because when you go through Atlanta Airport, I don't know what it is now. Last time I went through it, mostly blacks control all those concessions, which is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Atlanta's got a lockdown. Blacks got a lot of lockdown in Atlanta. Last time I went to that airport was about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And you're right, black. At that time, you're right, blacks had the, you know, most of the concessions.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, you got to tell that child off early. You got to introduce them to things. And, you know, Chinese children, you can still go in Chinese stores and buy electronic kits. And you can do 30 experiments out of those kits. You don't have that in the hood. When I was coming up, we had electronic store.
So like those hobby kits.
Chemistry sets, electronic sets, things
right.
of that nature. Things where you can have ant farms and so on, so on, so on. When I was a kid, we had a Gateway Electronics, which was they still exist. They just moved.
Mm-hmm.
They had to follow the traffic. But they had everything in there, that pieces and parts and this and that. So we could build things and make them work.
Yeah, what do you call it? Erector sets.
Things, robots,
right.
Tonka trucks. That's the way you inspire. That's where you inspire the innovative minds of children. Not playing TV games and sitting around the couch watching football games and all that crazy. It ain't crazy, but all those type of activities. We went to lectures.
Gamers.
We went to the colleges had lectures, and we went to lectures and listened to doctors and presenters.
Yep.
And
yep.
medicine speak on
they,
things.
Well, now they got
TED
Talk.
The 4-H club. We used to have the 4-H club, and
absolutely.
And they took all of that out of the educational system. They just
well, 4-H
took it out.
Yeah, I think 4-H clubs might have been like was not part of the school, but it may have, because I know it was one on Natural Ridge Road, a building 4-H club.
Right. It wasn't part of it, but what I'm saying is that the schools have stopped teaching practical, applicable things that, because they looked and they saw, shoot, these Negroes, they'll go out and they'll build them houses on railroad tracks and stuff like that, right? That they can't
yeah,
govern.
Well, see, the teaching.
No, we got to stop teaching them how to do all that.
Well,
okay,
I don't think that happened, Robin. I tell you what happened. I think black folks just stopped standing on top of it, because what goes on in your school is up to that community.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just put it, if you was a superintendent, and in L.A., you the board, if you had a room full of people telling you what you're going to do, well, you're going to either do it or they're going to get rid of you. That's what it's all about. But today, blacks just don't take on that type of accountability. Then you got politicians that use black in this fashion with the kids, because the public schools is a workplace where you can earn wages and salary. They don't give a damn if kids don't learn. Why? You're making money. Same thing like with this damn virus. I ain't going to talk about that.
Foul.
So that's what goes on. But I was going
to
say something.
We used to get Etch-a-Sketch, Lincoln Log, you know, all those things that would inspire creativity, even the Play-Doh, because you could take and shape it and make things, right? We don't even get that no more.
Do kids still do model cars? And
what do you mean, model cars?
You know, they used to
like,
come in kits.
Like my brother.
They would come, yeah,
like
they would come in a kit.
Watch this. My dad used to have a train set with models, right? He would go down, take my brothers, and build it. Now, my dad had the train set, set up in a room running in his house. My brothers lost interest in it. They didn't. It was boring to them to go down to the Stadium Toys and Crafts store and pick out a kit and maybe make a kite or a car or, you know, whatever. You know, they just weren't interested. I was, but my dad didn't take me.
I'd done model rocketing with my daughter. We used to have rocket engines. We used to put an egg in the top of the rocket and fire it. It'd go up about 100 feet or so. Deploy a parachute,
wow.
Then the egg come back to the ground.
I wish I was born in your family, Pianki.
Well, I tell you what, it wasn't much time.
Then you'd be a scientist instead of a broadcaster or a podcaster or a blogger.
Every Sunday, my daughter had it.
Will you adopt me?
Well, Rob, I think it's a little bit late for that now. But my daughter had computer classes on Sunday in the house. I had a Commodore 64, then 128.
Oh, I remember those. I had one of those.
And I had an IBM.
I won an
IBM computer. I didn't like IBMs at the time.
You know what? Speaking of IBM, who has an IBM computer these days anyway?
Well, they're more commercial than they are.
Yeah. Well,
personal.
IBM stands for International Business Machines anyway. That's their name.
Yeah.
But
They had more mainframe. But they still top. They have Deep Blue, which is one of the most fastest, and it goes back and forth between them and China now.
Well, I got a question for both of you. Do they still make typewriters? I had an IBM Selectric that cost like $3,000, but I bought that back in the 80s.
I ain't seen a type. I had a typewriter in my business.
I haven't seen a typewriter in years.
But then I had to get a dot matrix printer, but they don't even use them no more.
Is Xerox still around?
Yeah, they're still around. They're making copier machines. You know, the thing, too, that a child needs to know is how to write code. They need to do 3D printing.
Yep.
That should be art, 3D printing, because the things that they do with 3D printers today, and see, they have created these polymers. In other words, rather than the printer can print out a object with a special polymer that immediately hardens into a substance just as strong as some metals. And you can duplicate parts that have been broken. They've got scanners now that you can overlay and scan an entire automobile. And there's companies like SolidWorks.
I'm waiting for.
They can make body parts too, LA, like joints,
body parts?
Knee joints and so. Yeah.
Oh, knee joints. Okay.
Knee joints, but joints for your body, fingers. They doing that with polymers.
Well, you do have some in it. The late or Prince, he had. I think he had what do you call it? Hip replacement surgery. A lot of these entertainers have hip replaced, you know, through all their theatrics over the years.
So you got to get your children involved. Teach your children how to make calls, how they can make a coil and how they can induce electricity into the coil with a magnet to light light bulbs. And then the model, then let them model, like with the images that they have in Star Wars. Then let them look at Star Wars and let them explain to you what's not possible and what is. The sounds you hear would not be possible in space. There's no air. Sound won't travel in a vacuum like that. Then when you see a person that's flying a fighter, and when they go left, their body go left. Well, that wouldn't, that ain't like that. But the thing is what are those vehicles propelling off of? And what lets them achieve warp speed, which is like the speed of light?
Well, that's a good question. Well, let me ask you this, Bianchi. What do you think? Do you think it is possible that there will be, this is from Star Trek, teleportation?
Yeah, it would. I wouldn't want to be the first one to do it, though.
No, that's like in the movie The Fly. It didn't go over well in that movie.
Yeah, a lot likely. You seen the movie Mommy, I Shrunk the Kids?
I didn't see that one. I saw the trailers, but I saw the original movie The Fly, and I saw the remake of The Fly.
Yeah.
Like you said, the first person that goes through that, it didn't work out well.
Right, and you're going to have biorobotics, nano-biorobotics, which may be human beings. You may put human beings inside your bloodstream and let them go. RoboCop.
Yeah, like RoboCop. Well, you know what? Now, RoboCop, I think we're in the age of RoboCop, not like they portrayed in the movie yet, but a few years ago, what, like 4 years ago probably, it was a high-profile case in Dallas, Texas, where they sent in this little robot.
Yeah,
it looked like one of those vacuum cleaner type things. But it took somebody out.
Mm-hmm. When you say when I'm talking about nano robots that can travel through your bloodstream, through your veins and arteries, and if they shrink intelligent beings, objects, or even a human being, just think that can go to the point where you have problems with cells and organs and make those repairs.
Well, that's like, what's that movie or TV, not Voyage to the Bottom, Center of the Earth, but it was another one where they shrunk down the size and they went inside the body. Here's my theory, and it's a wild theory, I can't prove it, but I think you got some advanced beings on this planet. They've been here the whole time. And
possibly
they introduced these concepts in the form of entertainment. So, basically we're in the age of the Jetsons right now. And Dick Tracy, all that stuff that, you know, that they were talking about 50 years ago or even 60 years ago, you know, some of that exists now. We got flying cars now.
Yeah, but see, the flying cars you got now are based on drone-type hover vehicles with multiple propellers. The type of cars that we need is those that don't use any mechanical objects like that whatsoever. They use the opposition of magnetic attraction, that of the Earth, or other things. I mean, everything's got a magnetic field to it. I mean, where Robin was yesterday, she left a magnetic foot presence, a thumbprint. That's peculiar to you. That probably can be read, detected. You know what I'm
saying? I
imagine
they're going to have a TV show that features catching criminals that way.
It's
going to
be. You're absolutely right. Just because people got on masks because of COVID, well, that won't be no thing, because your physical being puts off an aurora which is peculiar to you. It's just like mm-hmm. a electronic DNA. So if you was, now I don't know how long that lasts before it dissipates, and we know it worked because we see animals, how they act, where I'm from,
right.
people. You know, an animal can detect cancer in your body, so they say. And they'll start licking on the spot on you.
Mm-hmm.
The Komodo dragon with his tongue, which is a receptor, when he spits that dude out, comes out about 6 inches. It's forked on the end. And it can detect its prey as far off as a mile, some people say.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. They got a heightened sense of smell.
They have a heightened sensory system.
Right.
If we want to use a common name for it. So those things are going to, that's money. That's breakthrough stuff.
That's true, because the way they do, like, forensics, the way they present it on TV, it's very fascinating. But anyway, we need to go. It's 1 o'clock here, 12 o'clock your way, Pianki. So before Blog Talk, I mean, they done been nice to us today, so real nice. So everyone have a good rest of the day.